Have you ever wondered why the concept of forever both terrifies and fascinates us? John Bevere's Driven by Eternity explores how this fascination isn't coincidental. It's woven into our spiritual DNA. When Arthur Stace, a reformed alcoholic, felt compelled to write the single word eternity on Sydney sidewalks for decades, he tapped into something profound that eventually made its way to the Olympic Games and city architecture. This single-word sermon resonated because we instinctively know our existence transcends our brief physical lives. Though our minds struggle to grasp the concept of forever, our hearts somehow understand it. This tension between what our finite minds can comprehend and what our souls intuitively know creates the perfect backdrop for exploring life's most profound questions. What does true success look like? While society measures achievement through wealth, status, or popularity, there exists a completely different scale, one that operates beyond time itself. Our mental frameworks short-circuit when trying to imagine concepts like eternity, because we're attempting to contain the infinite within our finite understanding. Yet paradoxically, though our minds cannot fully grasp eternity, God has placed eternity in our hearts, explaining why even professed atheists often acknowledge spiritual realities when facing mortality. In the allegory of Affable, ruled by King Jalin, citizens earn their place based on choices made during training in Endel, illustrating how earthly decisions determine eternal destinies. Five students represent different approaches. Independent questions Affable's existence. Deceived agrees with teachings but lives contradictorily. Faint heart begins strong but abandons faith. Selfish acknowledges the king but focuses only on his mercy. And charity genuinely loves the king while serving others. Each receives different resources, talents, opportunities, connections, revealing character through choices. Independent builds a business empire but avoids community. Deceived profits by cutting corners. Faint heart falls into an affair and grows bitter. Selfish becomes mayor but makes self-serving decisions. Charity opens a restaurant, donates generously, and serves the less fortunate. When judgment arrives unexpectedly, they're divided. Charity and selfish enter the hall of life while others face the hall of justice. The allegory shows eternal destinations aren't determined by conventional success, but by the heart's orientation toward truth and love. When Independent faces King Jalin, a hologram reveals his entire life with every hidden motive exposed. Despite his good works, his name isn't in the Book of Life, because salvation requires genuine belief, not achievements. Jalin explains that allowing his corrupt nature into Affable would endanger its citizens. Deceived approaches confidently, having attended gatherings and supported the king. Yet his life review reveals hypocrisy, promiscuity, greed, slander, leading to condemnation. The king explains that verbal profession without obedience isn't true faith. Faith without good deeds is dead. Faint heart pleads about her previous good deeds, but learns that when righteous people turn to sin, their previous goodness is forgotten. Names can be erased from the Book of Life. These judgments mirror spiritual realities. Jalin represents Jesus. King Father symbolizes God. Endel represents earthly life. Affable reflects heaven. And Lone represents hell, not as metaphors, but literal destinations. Our brief earthly choices determine permanent consequences, which is why Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven. Have you ever known someone who says all the right things on Sunday but lives differently the rest of the week? Jesus didn't come to create religious performers, but to transform lives from the inside out. When someone genuinely gives their life to Christ, they become a new creation with God's nature. A tree is identified by its fruit. Contemporary Christianity often focuses on accepting Jesus through a prayer without experiencing transformation. Jesus clearly stated, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." In comfortable societies, people seek Jesus for a better life, while in persecuted countries, believers understand they must lose their lives for Christ. Salvation requires a complete exchange, surrendering our entire lives to receive Christ's nature. True grace isn't permission for worldliness, but God's empowering presence enabling us to live by His standards. Under grace, we're held to a higher standard because we now have the ability to live according to God's nature through His Spirit.
Can salvation be lost? This question challenges popular teachings about eternal security. When filtering Scripture through preconceived notions, we obscure truth. We must approach God's Word openly, believing what we read rather than reading what we believe. James 5:19-20 speaks of brethren who wander from truth, calling them sinners whose souls face death without repentance. In Revelation 3:5, Jesus warns that names can be erased from the book of life. Scripture foretells a falling away when some will depart from faith, unable to endure sound doctrine. Unforgiveness is a major trap pulling people from God. Jesus warns that believers who refuse to forgive won't be forgiven by the Father. The key to perseverance is love. If you truly love Jesus Christ, why would you ever want out? Those who love God find joy in His commandments and develop a relationship too precious to abandon.
Imagine standing before Jesus as He evaluates your actions and motives. Ineffable, selfish learns his contributions were merely for reputation. Though deserving punishment, he receives mercy and becomes a landscaper in the flatlands. Charity, however, is honored for her selfless service and genuine love. Jalen places her on a throne near his own, making her ruler over 10 districts and prime minister of 20 cities. He embraces her, declaring, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." All believers will face Christ's judgment seat. Though earthly life is brief, our current actions determine our eternal position. This evaluation will examine our motives, intentions, thoughts, words, and actions. Nothing remains hidden. The judgment focuses on two areas: how we built God's kingdom according to our calling, and how we developed Christ-like character. Building God's kingdom requires obedience to the Holy Spirit, as unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Many believers miss their divine assignments by pursuing good paths that weren't God's design for them. The judgment focuses on two areas: how we built God's kingdom according to our calling, and how we developed Christ-like character. Building God's kingdom requires obedience to the Holy Spirit, as unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Many believers miss their divine assignments by pursuing good paths that weren't God's design for them.
10 million years from now, what will matter most about your life? Your influence creates ripple effects extending far beyond your lifetime, impacting generations eternally. Every act of service, prayer, and gift contributes to kingdom advancement. The contrast between atheist Max Jukes and godly Jonathan Edwards illustrates this principle. Jukes' 540 descendants included numerous criminals, while Edwards' 1,394 descendants included college presidents, judges, senators, and countless positive contributors. Your daily choices, how you respond to authority, speak of others, treat family, manage finances, form your legacy. Your greatest influence comes from leading someone to Christ. Even small actions, a kind word, an invitation, a timely call, can become divine appointments changing someone's eternal destiny. People's eternities depend on our obedience to God's plan. Live today with eternity in view, knowing your faithful choices will echo forever. Your eternal story is being written now.